In just a second, I'll introduce Mark Perkle, a guest. But I thought I'd mention that the music you were just listening to is Bob Dylan's song about Emmett Till. Emmett Till, of course, was a young boy who was murdered by a racist in Mississippi 50 years ago. There's still people alive today who should be prosecuted for the crime. It's a story that I've written a lot about racial reconciliation in the South. If it's a topic you want to talk about, give me a call. Again, the number is 404-523-8989. Now, let's go to Mark. Mark, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Now, Mark, you have formed something called the Church of Reality, which certainly caught my attention. But first of all, tell us a little bit who you are, and why do I get all these letters from you?
Oh, well, I'm the founder of the Church of Reality, and I also write a lot of letters to the editor. I write letters probably 3-4 times a week. I send them out to a mailing list of about 1,200 people. I know how to get letters published. So it's not too hard, and it's amazingly how easy it is to get published in newspapers.
And what's your purpose in doing that?
Well, I've got opinions, and I want to be heard, you know, is the purpose. And I use the technology that exists today to, get my thoughts and views out in front of the world.
Okay. You live in California, you write these letters, and I have to say that I'm one of those, 1,200 people? I'm one of those people. I get your letters. I love them. They're often funny. They're very short. I mean, I'm often spend time writing 3,000 and 4,000 word articles. When I get something that's a couple of hundred words and makes a point a whole lot better than I made in several thousand words, I sit there and say, that guy knows how to write. I'm after this show. I'm going to get a bunch of your letters and put them up on our website on my blog, which is www.johnsugg.com, so people can read some of your writing themselves. But tell us about the Church of Reality.
Well, the Church of Reality is a religion based on believing in everything that's real.
Uh-huh.
And my idea was that of all the religious choices out there, all the tens of thousands of religions that you can choose from, that I thought that reality should be one of the choices. And we just became a not-for-profit organization, and we hope to get out there and compete for the religious mind space. I want reality to be one of the main religious choices, so that when people are trying to figure out, well, what am I and what do I believe in, I want reality to be out there and be competitive with all the other religions.
Well, let's. Why don't you draw some comparisons? How would the Church of Reality compare with, say, Pat Robertson?
Well,
I mean, do you favor assassinating world leaders, for example?
No.
Oh, okay, good.
No, obviously not. World leaders should be determined by election and fair and free elections. Where votes actually are counted correctly, and. We shouldn't be out there.
They don't do that in Ohio and Florida, right?
The Republicans own the companies that make the voting machines, and the voting machines elect Republican candidates. So,
okay.
When you get into situations where, the statistics disagree with, the exit polls disagree so much with the results of these voting machines, you got to question the voting machines, and I think that the technology exists to have accurate voting machines. If they, have the kind of technologies they use for ATM machines at banks, for example, are secure. People do, billions of dollars in transactions every day with very low error rate and very little fraud. If they applied that same type of technology to voting machines, then we could have, a system that we can rely on the results of the election being the will of the people.
Well, back to the church, and I agree with you. A dose of reality for everybody is the likelihood that fraud's being committed in our electoral system. But back to the church, give me some ideas of what your doctrine or dogma is.
First of all, you know, to choose to believe in reality is a choice. Reality exists, but, you know, people have, in general, chosen to believe in fictional deities. And we have religious freedom in America, and you are allowed to believe in whatever you want, whether it's true or not. So to become a member of the Church of Reality is to make a commitment to reality that you're going to believe in whatever's real, wherever that, you know, that should, you know, end up being. And it's a commitment to also spread reality, to talk about reality with people, to get them to think about reality, to get them to bring reality into their daily lives. You know, we want people to, you know, think about, well, what really is going on here? What's really happening? What you know, this is a commitment to, you know, truth and honesty and the types of things that make it so that people make better decisions. And to that end, the Church of Reality is really about the exploration of reality. We don't have a book where we tell you what reality is. You know, it's a commitment to find reality. So, you know, in order to do that, you know, one of our sacred principles of the Church of Reality is the principle of positive evolution. Because in order to explore reality, we all have to do that together. We have to, you know, basically sort of link our minds into a network, you know, to do that. You know, it's like if you're going to explore space with a Hubble telescope, an individual doesn't launch a Hubble telescope from their backyard. This is something that people have to do together. And so we decide that we want the future to be, we are going to evolve in a positive direction, and that tomorrow will be better than today, as opposed to Armageddon and extinctionism, which is what other religions offer.
Well, you know, this is a very unusual event to have you on the air, because what we have here between you and me are two founders of religions. Many years ago, when I was living in Miami on a sailboat, I founded the Church of God, the Utterly Indifferent, and the patron saints of my church were the deists, who were the founding fathers of our country. Most people don't realize that George Washington and Ben Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, were not Christians, at least in a conventional sense, that they were deists, which was about as close as you could get to being, say, a member of the Church of Reality in the 18th century and not get burned at the stake. But deists, of course, believe that there was likely a God who created everything, but he sort of got bored with things and has gone off to do his own thing and left us pretty much to muddle along by ourselves. But anyway, the Church of God, the Utterly Indifferent, which I kept alive for a few years. I used to do such things as boat christenings, which I felt was a very sacred thing to do. Mm-hmm. And I would perform marriages that were good for 24 hours for people going out my sailboat, in case they needed some blessing for their carnal pursuits. But anyway, you know, the when you get into the topic of religion in this country, people become inflamed. Now, it's always struck me as odd that all these folks that run around claiming to know the truth about God, yet there are 3,000 or so Protestant denominations, several major schisms within the Catholic Church. Judaism is divided into three main branches, Islam into at least two main branches, and a whole bunch of minor sects. So nobody really seems to know much about what God is. Do you have any feelings about God? Are you an atheist, or do you think that there is a God up there?
I'm personally an atheist, and the Church of Reality's official position on God at the moment is atheism, and I say at the moment because our position is if God ever actually shows up in, you know, physical reality and objective reality where, you know, he can be independently observed by multiple people, then we would become theists, you know. But until God comes out, you know, and shows himself, you know, the assumption is that God doesn't exist. Because what we believe in is whatever is real. So, you know, God has to pass the reality test in order for us to believe in him. And, you know, the reality test that I've said is, you know, is to show up out, you know, in the real world. You know, the assumption is that God is everywhere, God is omnipotent, God, for instance, could, you know, join this radio show and could, you know, become part of this discussion. And in fact, I openly invite God to come into this radio show and be part of the discussion. But, you know, I don't think he's going to show up.
No. Well,
you see. So,
well, that's always been a very perplexing thing for religionists. That,
but the thing is, with the Church of Reality, we also raise the question is that if God exists, then why does he stay hidden? Why doesn't he come out? Why doesn't he, you know, do an interview on Larry King Live? You know, why doesn't he take questions from the audience? Why doesn't he have a website? You know, why doesn't he answer his email? You know, there's an opportunity for God to interact. God is capable of interacting, yet God chooses not to. The Church of Reality asks the question, why?
Well, that's a good question, and of course, I doubt that we're going to get an answer from any divinity today. But
right.
But you know, we're here in Georgia, we're in Atlanta. Our state school superintendent, a woman named Kathy Cox, a couple of years ago, removed all mention of the word evolution from curriculum guidelines in the public schools. We, of course, have in our neighboring state, we have the wonderful Judge Roy Moore, who wants to plant the Ten Commandments in every public building. We have people here in the United States who very aggressively want to turn America into a theocracy. In fact, a movement called Christian Reconstruction, which it has two bases, one out where you live, called the Chalcedon Foundation near San Francisco, and here in Atlanta is the other major base of Christian Reconstruction. They not only want to establish a theocracy, but they want to execute everybody that disagrees with them, and they have tremendous influence over the Bush administration, over several Presbyterian and other denominations. How would you feel about living in a country that suddenly became a theocracy?
Well, under those conditions, I wouldn't be able to live in a country like that because I would be one of the ones who were executed. And there's several religions that advocate execution, and we don't see that as a productive way of advancing the human cause, you know. Now, the Church of Reality, you know, and the U.S. Constitution agree that, you know, in religious freedom, you know, we don't want to, you know, do the same thing. We don't want to go out and execute all the Christians and the Muslims and all the theists. You know, our idea is to convert people through, you know, talking about reality and advancing the cause of reality and making reality part of the discussions, you know, getting people to think about reality the way it really is. So we actually convert people by the moment. You know, if somebody is thinking about reality, then they become a realist in that moment. So we may convert somebody for, you know, 10 minutes a day, for example. But we think that thinking about reality causes, you know, Christians and Muslims and Jews to evolve toward a more realistic, you know, position. And, you know, after all, if they're right, you know, if Christians are right and God exists and Jesus exists, then they should have nothing to fear from the Church of Reality because, you know, the Church of Reality will eventually prove, you know, that these, you know, deities exist or they will show up or something like that, you know. So our position is to try to bring people in through, you know, non-threatening means, you know, on the basis of, you know, what's real, because I think that, you know, the assumption is that people are Christians because they believe Jesus is real, you know, then, you know, so...
Religions, I take it that you probably don't have missionaries or anything like that, that you're not going to force people to convert to the Church of Reality.
Well, we don't force anybody to do anything, but we sort of, you know... The commitment to the Church of Reality is to spread reality. So we do sort of evangelize reality.
Well, that's a very dangerous thing. I mean, if we started really getting real in this country or in this world, we'd have a hard time. I mean, there are a lot of people out there who live in fantasy lands, beginning with the folks that inhabit the White House right now.
Well, you know, and that's true, you know, and sometimes reality isn't a pretty thing, you know. I mean, I had somebody on another radio show once ask me if they joined the Church of Reality if it would make them happy, you know, and I just said flat, you know, no, you know, we have nothing to do with happiness. You know, it might help you make better decisions and increase your likelihood of being happy, but, you know, this is about what's real, you know, and, you know, so like I said, sometimes reality isn't pretty. I mean, you know, this planet is a little speck of dust in the universe orbiting an average star that's in an average sort of galaxy, and for all we know, you know, we may fall into a black hole tomorrow and be consumed, and there's trillions of other galaxies with billions of stars and billions of planets out there, you know, that won't even know we're gone.
Well, you know, if you look at history, and all the millions and millions and millions of people who have been killed in the name of one religion or another, you know, I've written columns in the past where I've suggested that the major purpose of religion is to provide an excuse, a cover, to go out there and slaughter your neighbors. And, I mean, a religion that doesn't, you know, I guess I can't think of many that don't sort of preach killing people who
disagree. Well, you know, the
Buddhists, most of the mainstream Buddhists are like that, although the Buddhists themselves have gone to war a few times, you know, but Christianity, I mean, you know, there are tens of millions of people who have been killed in the name of Jesus, which I certainly read Jesus in words. I can't find where he said go out and slaughter your neighbors.
Right. But on the other hand, the majority of Christians are not murderers. The majority of Christians, I believe, you know, are not violent people, and they're not in support of, you know, what some of those Christian leaders support. You know, most people don't agree with Pat Robertson that we should go out and execute the president of Venezuela. Most people don't agree with the Reconstructionists that we should slaughter every non-Christian. And, you know, the Christian doctrine, you know, and the Ten Commandments, you know, does have a rule against murder, you know. Muslims, on the other hand, seem to be quite comfortable with murder, you know. So I find them a little more scary than Christians. But I believe that, you know, most people who are Christians, you know, although I believe they're misled, you know, they basically are good people who want to do the right thing, and you know that they wouldn't be adverse to thinking about reality, you know, and wondering, you know, how much of, you know, what they believe is real, as what, you know, even if they were to compare themselves to other types of Christian denominations, you know, there's some 10,000, you know, flavors of Christianity, of which, you know, only at best, I suppose, one of them has it right. And if I were a Christian, I would be wondering, well, you know, is my flavor of Christian the right one? You know, maybe the Baptists have it right. Maybe the Mormons have it right. Maybe the Adventists have it right.
I'll take issue with that. I think that if there is a God, and my own personal belief is that there is one, and I think there are many roads to God. I don't think if there's a God, he would be so perverse declare that there was only one way to find him, and all those billions of people who, more by accident of where they were born than anything else, never enjoyed the benefits of the true faith. But that's my own belief.
Okay,
what would you believe? Let me ask you a question. If all of a sudden you got a knock on the door and you opened it, and there was the Lord standing right there, whether the Lord being Christian, Jewish, Allah, one of the Hindu deities, or Buddha himself standing there, or for all we know, Shinto or the African animist, or I'm from Miami where there's a quaint religion called Santeria, and say it was Chango, you know, the chief god of the Santeria sect, and he was standing there, the god. What would you ask him?
Well, the first thing I did is I want to get a recording device, you know, and interview him.
Okay, well, that's right.
You know, and you know, the first thing I'd ask him is, where have you been, and why have you been hiding, and why are you coming out of hiding now? You know, because, you know, why are you here? You know, and, you know, tell me about, you know, reality. That's what I would want to know. And, I have an open offer, you know, that if God should... Now, of course, this is also, assuming this, you know, that this deity isn't appearing just to me, that this deity is appearing in such a way that, you know, he could be recorded, he could be photographed, he could be documented and established as being real, you know, as opposed to personal revelation. Because,
well,
you know, to meet the criteria of the Church of Reality, you have to make it into objective reality, which means that you have to be observable by more than one person.
Okay. Mark, it's getting on towards 12:45. We have some other things we need to do on the show. I really appreciate, you know, the fact that you've been here. I have a... No, okay, I was going to see if we had any other questions here in the studio for you. But keep up the good work. Why don't, before we go, I've got to give you another couple of minutes. What is it that you write most of your letters about? Tell us what your major thrust
is. Well, mostly I write about politics, and if somebody wants to learn how to write a letter to the editor, the idea of short is the most important thing in writing a letter to the editor. The shorter the better. If you don't make it short, it's not going to get published no matter how good it is, because there's only so much space. So number one rule is short. Number two is to write about whatever is relevant, you know, whatever people are talking about in the news, you know. You know, if I were to write a letter today, I would write about the Myers, you know, nomination being pulled. I might write about the upcoming, indictments that are due out, you know, probably tomorrow. You know, if I write about, you know, something that's in the headlines, it's much more likely. And then, you know, write something interesting. But basically, you know, number one, keep it short. Number two, keep it on topic. And three, interesting, and your letter's going to get published.
Well, as an editor, I can say you're right on all those things. Do you have a website that people can go to?
Yes, churchofreality.org.
Church of
Reality. If you want to learn more about reality, go to churchofreality.org. You know, it's open to everybody. You know, Christians are welcome, Muslims are welcome, Jews are welcome, atheists are welcome. And, you know, read about reality. And, you know, think about, you know, is your religion real? Is what you believe in real? And, you know, do you think that... you know, reality is important to your belief system. You know, if you realized that what you believed in wasn't real, would you change your mind and, you know, believe in something that is real? And what makes something real?
You know, well, you know, if you have a sacred song, you might want to go back to John Lennon's piece about Imagine, you know. Imagine there's no heaven or hell. Anyway, listen, Mark, I appreciate you. Keep up the good work. Keep those letters coming. They light up my day quite often, and like I said, I'm going to post a bunch of them on my website.
Great.
And hope to talk to you again.
Okay, thank you.